Let's see if we spoke at this Imre Yosher.
Right, so the Imre Yosher had the shaila where Reuven had borrowed a sefer Torah and then moved away. Shimon took over the borrowing of it. So then it got burned. So the question was, is Shimon chayiv as a borrower, as a shoel, to pay for the borrowed sefer Torah and own it? He should be chayiv. So he said, Pashas, he should be chayiv. We introduced, though, the svara that since we have a svara that Pruta Rav Yosef, if you're doing a mitzvah, you're potter from giving an oni tzedakah, so that's worth money to you. So over here, since the owner did a mitzvah when he lent him the Sefer Torah, so at that point in time he was doing a mitzvah, he was gaining a pruta, so that could make the borrower into really a renter because he's giving that owner a pruta, he's giving him something at that time, and that could make him into a socher, a renter who's potter from all these other things. From an onus. We had a few questions with that because, first of all, who says we pass from the girl Yosef? We said, how does it work over here at the time that he's giving it to him? He didn't do the mitzvah yet, and this seems to be only afterwards, and then the owner's not around. We said that the third problem we had was that it's not even coming from the borrower, the pay's coming from Hashem. We had those questions, we answered each of them, Bimra Yosha at the end. We quoted said this this svara that's there, it happened to be that they were paying for fixing the Sefer Torah, and that could have been considered the rental since you're getting a free Sefer Torah fix, you're getting a Sefer Torah fixed for free, that's worth something, and it's not like feeding the animal, because over here when you got the Sefer Torah back it's worth more money, and when you get the animal back, so what, it was fed, you still have to feed it. So that was what we concluded last week, that he would probably be considered a sofer. This week we're going to have another svara in that Imre Yosher says about that question, but before that we'll just focus on the question we're talking about, and that is, like we said in the email, that Reuven borrowed a talus, and this is the question that a few of the Achronim to talk about. Reuven borrowed a talus, and as he was using it, while he was using it, it got either stolen at gunpoint, or I would think more practically speaking was maybe he was, you know, had it on and the person in the back of him put his foot on the tzitzis and when he walked away, you know, they snapped off or somehow they broke. So if it's an onus, the question is, he's a borrower, so is he chayiv because he borrowed the talus and a shoel is chayiv for onus. If it was geneva and aveda, like, you know, stolen when he went away, so then, you know, that were was lost, so then he's certainly going to be chayiv, because even if he's a socher, even if he's a renter's chayiv for Geneva Vaveda. So we'll focus on where something unavoidable happened. It was an onus that couldn't be avoided. There was something that happened that he couldn't avoid. Someone stepped on it, or they stole it at gunpoint, or caught on fire unexpectedly and unpreventedly. So that's the case we'll talk about. The Imre Yosher, before we get to the Miyosha, the Ketzos HaChoshen, right, this question we had last week with the Ran, right, the Ran's case, the Miyosha's case, if you lend a Sefer Torah, are you a Shoel or not? So we had this reason you should not be a Shoel, because since the owner gets that food to Rav Yosef, so that maybe is considered his pet. The Ketzos suggests another reason, an interesting reason why the person borrowing the Sefer Torah should not be considered a shoel. And that is, we have a rule, mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. Mitzvahs are not given for hanah. For example, if someone makes a neder, if Reuven made a neder, that Shimon is not allowed to have any benefit from him. So Shimon is allowed to hear, and Reuven happens to be the Baal Tokeya in Shul, Shimon's allowed to hear Mr. Kiyas, he's allowed to even borrow his shofar, because he's getting benefit from Reuven, but we have a rule, Mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu, and that's not considered hana. When I say I don't want you to have pleasure from my property, that's physical benefit, but ruchnias benefit, a mitzvah that you can perform with my property, the Gemara says that's mutter, because Mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. So the Ketzos says, if that's the case, let's think about that when you borrow a Sefer Torah. Or the same thing would be if you borrow a shofar or a talis. Right? If you borrow a dvar mitzvah, and we invoke this rule, mitzvahs lav lehenis nitnim, mitzvahs were not given for hana, they're not considered, you're not considered to be benefiting from the mitzvah when you're, from that object when you're performing the mitzvah. So if you recall, a couple weeks ago we said there was this gemara that if you borrow a horse, leiros, but you don't need the horse to take you anywhere, you don't need it for transportation, you don't need it to carry anything for you. You just want a horse that someone is coming for a shidduch or something, and you want the chassan to see, that prospective chassan to see how rich you are, that you have horses, you have a fancy car, and you just borrowed it to keep it parked in front of you, but you're not really using it. It's just to lay rows that you should seem, maybe it's Gnevis Das when you think about it, but you just want it to impress people with it. It's not for actual use. So the Gemara had a Shaila, is that called She'ela? Is that called borrowing? And the Gemara didn't have an answer. The Gemara didn't say take it, but the Gemara doesn't come up with an answer. The Gemara had a similar question, if you borrow less than a Shavu Pruta, if you borrow something for less, that would, if you had to rent it, it would cost less than a penny, less than a pruta. So if you borrow, we talked about the case of borrowing a pen to sign your name, how much would someone pay for that? Less than a pruta. So that also, the Gemara is a Shaila, is that called borrowing? Does that fit into that Xeris Akasa, that when you borrow something, you're chaya for anything that happens to the object? Or do we say no, it has to be that something that you have direct benefit from, or and that direct benefit has to be worth a pruta. And Shulchan Aruch paskins that you can't be motzi mamon in such a case. If someone borrowed something and did not have direct benefit from it, or a benefit that was less than a pruta, and it got, it was an onus, it got stolen at gunpoint or caught on fire, something that you couldn't prevent, so you're not considered a shovel to be fired. You'll be part of, you get some benefits here, like a shomer sofer, it's like you're getting paid to watch it, so you'd be part of the Geneva Veda, but not for an onus. The Ksos says the same thing should be with a mitzvah. If you borrow a talus to, well, he's talking about a sefer, you borrow a sefer to learn, you borrow a sefer Torah to read, to lane from in your shul, or the same thing should be, you borrow a shofar to blow, or a talus to wear. So we should invoke this halacha called Mrs. Lav Lehenis Nidnu. It's true you're using it, but that use is worth less than a shavar pruta, because it's no hanah from that. You're allowed to do that with to do it with someone who's Mudr Hanah, who made a netter. You can listen to, you can borrow his shofar, you're not allowed to have benefit from it. That's only monetary benefit. This is not called monetary benefit. Or maybe it's like lay rows. You're borrowing it for, you know, you have the whole horse, the horse is valuable, but that benefit that you have from it, since it's not direct, it's not a physical direct benefit, so you're not called a shoel because of that. So same thing over here, since the benefit you're getting from the sefer is not a direct physical benefit, so it so says, that's another svara why the Ran is correct in saying that if someone borrows a sefer Torah, he won't be considered a shoel. It's like the opposite reason that the Ran said. The Ran said, since the owner gets a benefit, I mean, it's not a stira, but the Ran said, since the owner gets a benefit from performing the mitzvah, that he doesn't have to give the ani tzedakah. That's worth a pruta to him, so he's getting paid. The Ksos is saying, you could say simpler. Say, and that's subject to the Machlokas Rabbah and Rav Yosef, the Ksos says you could say simpler. Say that since what you're using it for is not a direct physical benefit, it's borrowing later on. It's like borrowing to show to as a, something that you want to show how rich you are, whatever reason you want to borrow it for. And then others add that maybe it's like borrowing something that's worth less than a shavar pruta. So that's what the Ksos says. The Nesivos says this interesting, he brings this interesting Taz. You've probably heard this. The Taz has the Kasha. Like Kleski always used to say this, that the Taz has a kasha. We have this halacha in Rosh Hashanah that if you're not allowed to, if this person made a neder not to have hanah from it, you're allowed to borrow his shofar. And the same thing, you could borrow a person's talis. You can borrow something that's a divine mitzvah because mitzvah lav lehenis nitnu. So why is it that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if Reuven said Shimon can't have hanah from him, Shimon's not allowed to borrow Reuven's sefer? mean, it's a sphere. You know, Shimon's allowed to borrow Reuven's talis and shofar, but Reuven's not allowed to borrow Shimon's sefer. So the Taz answers, and really this is Rabbein Avram and Hohar in the Darim. The Torah is different than every other mitzvah, because we have a rule that he brings from Avelus, that an Avel is not allowed to learn Torah because they're Mesamchei Leiv, that the Torah of Hashem is Mesamchei Leiv, it gives Simcha. But there's a special quality to learning Torah, more than other mitzvahs, that the other mitzvahs, there's a mitzvah, you have to do the mitzvah. And that's Lav Lehenesin, it's not just to do the mitzvah like Hashem commanded. But Torah, the mitzvah of learning Torah, brings about Simcha. That the essence of Torah includes the Simcha. The Nefesh HaChayim says that learning Lishma, right, doing a mitzvah Lishma means I'm doing it L'shem the mitzvah, to be the kind of the mitzvah of Hashem. It's not that I want any benefit from it, I just want to do it because Hashem commanded me to it. Learning Torah Lishma, the Nefesh HaChayim says, is to enjoy the learning, because that's part of the chetz of the mitzvah of learning, is to enjoy the learning, to have anah from the learning. Right? The Egel Tal says that in his Hagdom, also the Sachet Shavar, that that's the difference between learning Torah and other mitzvahs. So Nesiya says, based on that, how can the Gitzos, right? The Gitzos was talking about the Ran was talking about borrowing a Sefer Torah. How can the Gitzos say that mitzvahs Lav Lehen is Nitnu? And therefore, when you borrow a Sefer Torah, you're not considered a shoel because you're not getting real benefit from it. If you're borrowing a Sefer Torah, we don't say Mrs. Avlahan is Nitnu, according to the sphere of like the Taz and these other, Rabbi Avram and Alhar, these others are saying. You don't say that by learning Torah. Learning Torah, you do get benefit, you do get Hanah from that. So therefore, the Nesiva says to the Ktos, it could be that if you were talking about another type of mitzvah, Lulav, an Esrog, a Talis, so then you won't be considered a real Shoel, because that's not called intrinsic monetary benefit that you should be called a Shoel. But when it comes to Torah, that you can't apply that Svara. Now, the Ktos answers the Nesivas. He writes back in the Meshavim Nesivas that he doesn't say a Svara, he just says, but the Ran said, the Hanoas Limad Gufe Lav Hanoahi. Like the Ran said a Svara like that. It's Masha, the Ran is saying that the Hanoah of the learning, when you learn, that's not called Hanoah. So he's saying it's Masha from the Ran, that you do say such a Svara that that's not called Hanoah by the learning. The Imre Yosher explains it. He explains what the Ktos could mean. He says that there's a difference between Hanoah and Simcha. When you're talking about Mrs. Lavla Hennis Nidno to be called a Shoel, are you getting pleasure? Yes, I'm getting pleasure from learning Torah. I'm sorry, I'm not getting pleasure from the Talis or from the Shofar. That's not called pleasure. When I'm learning Torah, do I get pleasure? I'm getting pleasure, but that's really Simcha I'm getting. I'm getting Simcha from it. I'm getting happiness from it. It's Misam Chelei. But am I getting physical benefit from the Torah, from that learning? Am I getting physical benefit from the Sefer Torah? No. I'm getting Simcha, and that's why I can't borrow someone's Sefer if I'm not allowed to Hanah from him. He made a Neder against me. And Ovel can't learn, and we can't learn on Tisha B'Av because it gives Simcha, but you can't say you're getting monetary, physical benefit from it. Right? Simcha L'Chur and Hanah L'Chur, he says. He says there's a mitzvah by Wul. Wul of an Eretz Yisrael is, in the Beis HaMikdash, is Midaraisa only all 7 days, because it says v'samachtem l'fnei Hashem l'keichem shilas yamim. But we have lulav only midaraisa the first day outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah all 7 days, because it says v'samachtem l'fnei Hashem l'keichem. So are you going to say because you have simcha with the lulav in the Beis HaMikdash, if someone borrows a lulav in the Beis HaMikdash, you will say, well, even though normally say Mrs. Lala Henderson, but here he's getting simcha from it and it'll be a real shoel? No, because he's not getting a direct physical benefit from the lulav, whether he's in the Beis HaMikdash or he's in Chutz La'aretz. Even though the pasuk calls that simcha, but that's not called direct physical benefit. So we have this machlokus, whether we can make this chiluk between Torah and other mitzvahs. Right? The Ktos claims that even by Torah, we could say when you borrow a Sefer Torah, it's the same as if you borrow any other mitzvah, any other chepet shal mitzvah, you won't be considered a borrower because mitzvah's lav lehen is nitnu. the Nesivos, he doesn't disagree with the Ktos by other mitzvahs, but by Sefer Torah he invokes this Taz, this Rabbi Avraham in Ahar, that learning is different than any other mitzvah because it is a hanah, there's a simcha in the learning, so you can't say mitzvahs of lehemsin by learning. So if you borrow a Sefer Torah, that is, since you get benefit from it, that's called, you're still called a shoel. The Ktos answers back, the way the Mir Yosher explains, that you might be getting simcha from it, but to say you're getting physical pleasure from it, that you're not getting. So even there, we would say mitzvahs of lehemsin, even though you don't say mitzvahs of lehemsin, nitna by your learning, but you can't say that I'm a shoel. It's more like lay rose. It's more like I'm using it to, for an outside purpose, not for an intrinsic benefit I'm getting from the learning. I'm not using it. It's not like a hammer I'm borrowing, I'm banging a nail with. By learning, I get some benefit from it. I get a simcha that he calls not direct. So that would be simple, except the Erech Shai, I'm sorry, the Imre Yosha himself. Vimir Yosha himself says he doesn't like this whole svara to start with. He doesn't like the whole svara. Once again, the ktos is being mechadesh by Sefer Torah, but by other any mitzvah, that if you borrow a talus, a shofar, an esser, a lulav, a Sefer Torah, you're not a borrower, you're not a shoel, because you're not getting any benefit. Why? Because it's like if you borrowed a horse or a car to look chashav, that's not called intrinsic benefit. Mitzvahs lav lehemsin. But Imre Yosha says, what are you comparing it to? You're comparing it to this Gemara that says if you borrow a horse, lay rolls, that's not called real hanah because it's a peripheral hanah. So same thing, the hanah you get from lulav and esrog isn't a real hanah. But he says there's a big difference in the two cases because horses are made to ride or made to carry things. That's what a horse is made to do. You borrow it for an unusual purpose. So there the Gemara has a Shaila and then Shulchan Aruch Paskins that you can't force him to pay for any onus because he could say, look, I'm not a real shoel, I didn't borrow it for its normal purpose. I just borrowed it for to be seen with it, and that's not normally what you use horses for. But a lulav and esrog, the only purpose of a lulav and esrog is to take it and shake it. But that's the purpose of a lulav and esrog. So just because you have this lumdus to say, well, that's not called hanah because Mrs. Lavlanis nidnu, but you lemaisa borrowed the person's object for what its normal use is, and you used it. Your talus is made to wear and you wore it. So the sefer is made to learn and you learned it. So the Imre Yosha says he doesn't like the whole svara of the ktos to start with. He uproots the whole svara that we thought in Mrs. Lavlanis and we were thinking all along, it's not worth the shavar pruta. And then he says, ah, it's not worth the shavar pruta. But that's only if you know, it's a big horse and you can normally use it for $100 and you use it for a penny, less than a pruta. So that's not called a shoel. But if the whole use of an object is worth less than a pruta and you borrowed it and you used it the way the owner uses it, so you're a shoel. You used his object the way he uses it. So why should you not be called a shoel? So the Yoshi disagrees with the Ketos. And based on that, that throws everything out the window. When you borrow a talus, when you borrow a shofar, when you borrow a sefer, according to the Imre Yosha, you're a borrower. I, Mrs. Lavla Hennessy, that just means that you didn't get a pruta's worth of hanah from it. It's not considered physical, direct hanah. And that's why you can use someone's shofar and talus if he's made a netter against you. But to say that you're not a shoel, you can't, because you're using it the normal way it's used. And that makes you a shoel. That's what the Imre Yosha says. And he ended up last week saying that there are other reasons why you shouldn't be considered a shoel, but he does not like this second reason of the Ktos at all. Right? The Erev Shai in Simen Shin Mem, he throws in another svara. And that, the halacha is, another reason why you shouldn't say Mrs. Lavlahanis Nina by a talus. Remember, our case is about a talus. We just brought the Miyosha, he was talking about the Sefer. By a talus, there's a halacha that you don't say Mrs. Lavlahanis Nina, like you were saying before. He's saying that a talus, you wear. But more than that, a talus, there's no mitzvah to wear a talus. Right? There's a mitzvah that if you wear a four-cornered baguette, you have to put tzitzis on it. But there's no mitzvah to wear a talus per se. So to say that mitzvahs, if I borrow someone's talis, right, I'm borrowing it because I think this is part of the svara, like you're saying, that I'm borrowing it because I want to wear it. Now, once it's four-cornered, I have to have tzitzis on it. But it's not the same that I have a chiyuv to wear tefillin, and if I borrow your tefillin, so then we'll say mitzvahs av lehen is nivnu. Right, but by a talis, it could be that he brings that that's a psakin in Simen Chav Beis, that you don't say by tzitzis mitzvahs av lehen is nivnu. So that also would throw out this far out the window by a talis. However, he concludes that there's another svara, and that's going to be the second half of this year. The stay chemet, huh?
Yeah,
why don't you say mesa machas melacha over here? Even if you're a shoel, why don't you say you're a mesa? You're part because it's mesa machas melacha. You wear the talis, and someone stepped on the tzitzis, and you know that's part of wearing it. So stay chemet is mashma that you do say such a thing. The kisvei choshen though says, let's think why you're part of mesa machas melacha. According to the Ramban, you're part of by mesa machas melacha because you say when I lent my object out, if it's going to, so I lend out the cow, if it dies, I should have been more careful to lend out. He says he's going to plow with it. Don't give him a cow that's going to die. So it's my fault for giving you something that's going to die. The Ramah, we said, holds that since when I lend out my cow, I know there's a possibility that it might die, and I'm willing to lend it out anyway, so I'm awful if something happens. But that's only if it's something that's usual to happen. If I lend out a talis, like I lend out an esrog, and that's the Eretz Chaim talks about. If I lend someone my esrog, and it comes back that when he was using it, it's a little bruised, it's like a little mushy maybe now. So that you can say it's mesa machas melacha, because that's for normal use, and as long as you use it normally, and you know, he wasn't going like this with it, but you know, it's normal use, so that you can say mesa machas melacha. And if the talis comes back a little dirty, a little greasy, so that may be mesa machas melacha. But if it comes back that someone stepped on it, you don't have to say whenever I lend out my, you know, so you don't go to shul thinking that I'm going to come back with some tzitzis missing because someone stepped on them or because a car caught on fire or some armed robber came and took it. That's not a normal thing. And the Pisei Choshen doesn't understand why this day Chemet holds that would become Mesa Machs Melacha. And none of these poskim are saying Mesa Machs Melacha. Now the Erech Shai brings up another interesting halacha to think about. There's an halacha. The Rush has this halacha. Says this halacha, right? Before you get to the Rush, the halacha is: if you borrow someone's talis, you don't make a bracha on it unless you borrowed it for 30 days. That's what the Gemara in Kulin says. So the Rush says, if you're borrowing someone's talis, the assumption is that you want to make a bracha on it. If you're borrowing it, you don't make a bracha. It's not your clothes. You're not mekayim a mitzvah unless it's yours. It's not yours. It's his. So you're not mekayim a mitzvah. It's even a shy of the wife for 30 days, you have to make a bracha. So the Rush says, since the assumption is the owner of the talis knows that you want to make a bracha on it, so even though he doesn't say it, but he really gives it to you. He's giving you the talis as a matan amanas lahachzir. So when you are wearing the talis, so the assumption is, even the unspoken assumption is that he gave it to you as a present. Of course you have to return it to him, otherwise that's the tanai. If you don't return it to him, so then it will be considered gezeila. Right? The Rush says the same thing as in the halacha. If someone borrows a ring, he says, I need a ring to, he forgot the ring and he's at the chasana and he needs to use it for a kedushin, so he takes it from some woman in the audience and says, can I borrow your ring for the kedushin? So you'll say, well, yeah, well, it's not a good kedushin because you don't own it. To make kedushin, the chasan has to own, give something to the kala that he owns. So the Rush says the same svara, that since the owner of the ring knows that this chasan is using it to make a kedushin, and it won't work unless he owns it, so she or he has in mind to give it to this chasan as a matana, amanas l'hachzir. How's he going to give it back? Either he'll buy it back from his wife afterwards, or he'll pay for it. That's considered amanas l'hachzir. And that, so the Rush, both places, says this halacha. Right, that's an introduction. That's the assumption we make, that when you give something to someone and he needs to own it, you give it as a matana amanas l'hachzir. Now, the Nesivos uses the svara to take it one step further. The halacha is, if I actually give you a matana, amanas l'hachzir, and it got stolen from you while you have it, or an onus. So it's a machlokis how far your chiyuv goes. But most posting, if not all, hold that you're not chayiv for an onus. It could be you're not even chayiv for the name of Aveda. But you're certainly not chayiv for an onus if someone gave you a matona amenas lahachzir. Right? He gave you a real present. He spoke it out. This is a present amenas lahachzir. So you're not going to be chayiv for an onus. So the Nesiva says the same thing will be in these cases where there's an assumed matana amenas lahachzir. Even though you said, I want to borrow your lulav, I want to borrow your tzitzis, your talis, I want to borrow the ring. The Nesiva says that, Shlomo Kluger says the same thing, that when you borrow it, I'm sorry, he makes a chiluk. He says it's only, and they make a chiluk, it's only if you actually made a matana, you actually said it's a matana amenas lahachzir. But if you borrow it, and it's only halachically a matana amenas lahachzir, so he says in that case you'll be chayiv. He says in that case you'll be chayiv. What's his svara? Even though we assume the owner has in mind that you should own the talis while you're using it, and you should own the ring while you're using it, but you said you're borrowing it. So the assumption is that when you say you're borrowing it, you mean, look, I really want to own it, but the halacha is, even if I'm a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar and only chayiv for pshiyah or geneva aveda, I can make a tanai that I'll pay you for anything that happens, even in onus. So by saying that I want to borrow it, it's like I'm making a stipulation that even though you're going to give it to me as a matana, I want to make myself chayiv even for an onus. So the Nesiva says in the case of the talis, so he says in the case of the ring, and Shnos Chaim, the Shlomo Kluger says in the case of a talis, in these two cases where it's an assumed matana amenas lahachzir, since the words you said were that you wanted to borrow it, so you're going to be chayiv for an onus as if you were a shoel, even though you really only were a matana amenas lahachzir person. Okay, so that doesn't do anything for us at this point. But the Erech Shai disagrees. The Erech Shai says, where do you get it from? You say, you're making such a complicated thing over here. You're saying, it's really a matana amenas lahachzir. And if he had said it's a matana, as a matana amenas lahachzir, he'd be patur from an onus. But you say, because he said he wanted to borrow it, because you said he wanted to borrow it, that makes you like a borrower. But if you're a borrower, the whole thing's not going to work. If you're a borrower, then you can't be mekadosh the isha, and you can't be yosi the minhag, you can't make bracha on the talis. So you don't really need to borrow it. And to say, like they're saying, that, well, that's what you have in mind, that even though you're not a borrower, but you want to be mechayiv yourself as if you were a borrower, minolon, he says. How do you know to say such a svara? The Divrei Gaonim answers back and says to the Erech Shai, you can't argue with an Yeshivas and a Rosh Shlomo Kluger by saying Minola, and how do you know such a svara? They're Gedolei Olam, and they said there is such an Umdana. And you can't answer that. And he says there's a raya to what they said. And that's this one Gemara we have on the first side of the handout. Rosh Shimon Gamliel says, if someone, Lo Aleinu, Reuven goes to Shimon and says, can I borrow your cloak because I need to visit my father who is not feeling well? Now the Gemara says, since he said the father's not feeling well, and Reuven lends the garment anyway, so if the father ends up dying and he's wearing Reuven's clothes, he's allowed to do kriya on those clothes. Why is that? Because when Reuven gave it to him, he knew that was a possible use of it. So he's allowed to do kriya. When he comes back, he has to pay for that loss. He has to pay to get it fixed. If he didn't tell him that he was what he was using it for, then he's not even allowed to do kriya. He's never just to use it. So the Divrei Gaonim asks, or proves, you see from here, that even though it's in the owner's mind to allow him to do kriya, right, he's giving it to him to do kriya, but that doesn't preclude him from wanting to demand payment afterwards. So the same thing over here, even though we can assume the owner is giving it to the giving his talents or giving the ring to the borrower as a full-fledged matana so he could do the job, that doesn't preclude him from getting payment for it at the end. That's what the Divrei Gaonim Tainis. The Eruv Shainis is back in his tshuvas that he wrote after the Divrei Gaonim came back, came out. Then he, in his tshuvas, he said, I wrote this in Eruv Shainis, Divrei Gaonim asked on me. So he says there's a difference between the case of Korea and this case over here. By the case of where he's going to do Korea, he didn't say Beferish, can he borrow the cloak to do Korea? And the person said yes. Then you have a good time to say, why isn't he potter? He just said he's going to visit the father. So we assume that the owner knows that there might be this possibility that he's going to do Korea with it, so he's allowing him to. But to say, and then to say, and he shouldn't have to pay, that's just like a second step. That's a cliche, and you don't go that far. But if I'm borrowing your talis, I say, I'm borrowing your talis to use it. I say what I'm using it for. I'm borrowing the ring to give it away to this woman for a kiddushin. So in that case, the tshuris shy holds that there he really means it. There he means to actually give it away, and if something happens to it, he's matanam and aslahasi, 1 feet 5. You don't see any raya that he should be called a shoel. Bottom line, we have a machlokas. If you lend someone something in a way where it can't be a regular loan because the person, the recipient, needs to own it, and we say therefore you meant it as a matana amanas lahafsir, there's a machlokas, these poskim, whether because he didn't say he wants it as a matana, he said he wants to borrow it, do we say that the implied implication of the word borrowing it includes responsibility for even an onus, even though you normally wouldn't be chai because you just it's a matana manas lahafsir? But that's a machlokas. So based on that, we, right, in the question, if you're borrowing a talis, you're borrowing something, a divar mitzvah, a chekas shal mitzvah, are you chayiv for onsen? So we have to conclude that there's three different types of cases and three different machlokas and haposkim between them. If we're talking about a lulav, well, that's a bit of thing. We're talking about if we're talking about a mitzvah other than Talmud Torah, a mitzvah other than Talmud Torah that you don't have to own, but there's no reason to say that the second sword that it's a matam and achsel hafter. It's something you can really be yosef by borrowing a shofar. I think according to you don't have to own. It's a mitzvah that you don't have to own. So then we have the first machlokas. We have the shaila. When you're borrowing something that's a mitzvah, do we say mitzvah slav lehenis nidnu or not? Right, do we say Mrs. Lavlahanis Nindu includes the fact that I'm not going to be a full-fledged shoel now? It's going to be like Lady Rose. It so says that since Mrs. Lavlahanis Nindu was like borrowing the horse, Lady Rose, to be seen, it's like something less than a shavkut. It's not a real use. Imre Yosher said, no. When you're borrowing the lulav and the esrog, you're borrowing this chavish ha-mitzvah and you're doing what the owner does with it, it's not like Lady Rose. Lady Rose means you're not using its full function, and that's not called hanah to make you a shoel. But when you're using the chayfetz shal mitzvah the way everyone else uses it, the way the owner would use it, the way anyone would use it, so then Rav Yosher said that you are a shoel. Right, so that was one machlokas. If that chayfetz shal mitzvah is a sefer Torah, so there we have an additional issue. Now we could say, even if you want to say that under normal circumstances, Mrs. Lavla Hennesnender, like the Ktso said, and we should say that when you borrow a chayvet mitzvah, you are considered a socher. You're not considered a shoel because you're not getting full benefit. It's considered a rose, but if it's limud haTorah, then the Sivas holds that since Torah, the whole thing is for the hanah, the simcha you get from it, that is a full-fledged hanah. So then the Sivas holds that in that case you would be considered a full shoel, and that prat. The Emir Yosher disagreed with the Nesivas by saying that simcha luchud and hana luchud. So that's two machlokes. If the dvar mitzvah, the chevish mitzvah you're borrowing happens to be a type of object that you need to own to be mekayim the mitzvah, like a talis, like a ring for a kedushin, which there might not even be called a chevish mitzvah, might be more like a talis. But if you're borrowing something that you need to own, so there we have this umdana of the rush, and we pass in that way that when I give you something that you need to own, I'm really giving it to you as a matana amanas lahafsir. Now, if I said it was a matana manas lahachzir, you certainly would not be chayiv for any onus that would happen. But here, where it's just an implied matana manas lahachzir, so there we had this machlokas between the Erev Shai and the Divrei Gaonim, really the Erev Shai and the Nesivos and Rosh Shlomo Kluger, whether you say that the Tanai, whether you have made a Tanai that you're going to be responsible even for an onus. The Nesivos says that since you said you're borrowing it, that means that you are going to pay for any onus that happens. The Erev Shai disagrees. So in our case, if you borrow the talis and the tzitzis got ruined in an unavoidable way, or it got stolen at gunpoint, and there's nothing you could do about it, it was an onus, right? So you borrowed a talis. So according to the Kitzos, since it was a chepetz shal mitzvah, we would say that you're not a real shoel because it's a chepetz shal mitzvah, and it's mitzvah and it's not that's not a real sheela. Yosher disagrees with it. We saw this far that maybe a talis is b'chlal different because, like the Shai said, a talis b'chlal might be different because it's something that you're not mechuyev to where it sits. If you're mechuyev to put it on, if you have a four-pointer dagger. So that's the first far. Why you might be party? You might be party because Mrs. Lavlan is nidim. You might not be like the Emre Yosher. The second thing is that when he lent you that talis, he really had in mind that you should own it temporarily. You should own it as a matan avinas lahaksis. You can make the bracha on it. And once he said you should own it, the din is if you have a matan amanas lahachzir, you're not chayiv for an onus. We said it could be, the Nesivos and the Rosh Shlomo Kluger said it could be that in this case you will be chayiv because you said you want to borrow it and maybe you committed yourself to be chayiv for an onus, but on that we had the Erev Shai disagree. So bottom line, it would be hard to force him to pay because he does have the Mrs. Lav Lennison in the Svara, he does have the Svara that it was a matan amanas lahachzir, even though it's only implied, but there is a machlokas, and that's that would probably be what you do.